Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we are excited to bring you this service today, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Good morning. Welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for Sunday, September the 20th. The key word is smile. The affirmation is, I share the joy and love of God when I smile. Even if a language barrier prevents me from understanding another's words, I know that most people will respond to a friendly smile. My smile can convey goodwill, communicate delight from an unexpected blessing. A child not yet able to talk shares love and joy quite effectively with a sunny smile. I feel happy when others smile at me. This friendly, welcoming gesture reminds me that we are all one in spirit. Smiling at my reflection in a mirror, I see the light that shines within me. I feel a quickened awareness of the divine joy and love that are present everywhere as I realize how simply and beautifully my smile can express that love and joy without any need for words. And the scripture reading is Numbers 6:25. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are in week two of this idea of practicing the principles in uncertain times. How do we live these principles that we're, been talking about in these very challenging times? I mean, the pandemic, the racial unrest, or the fires in California and the floods are just, heartbreaking when you see what folks are going through around the country and around the world. So we're going to look at this. And, these, again, like I said last week, are ideas that you've heard already. But the key to this is that what we're trying to do is look at these from a deeper perspective and try to understand more about how these principles unfold in consciousness and then unfold and show themselves up in our lives. The subtitle for today is One Prayer, One Mind, One Way. And you're going to hear me say that about 15 times before this talk is over, all right? And so this affirmation, One Prayer, One Mind, One Way, it's in the language of the Holy Spirit, as we spoke about in a previous lesson. And, I might be using that quite a bit in terms of helping us understand the language of the Holy Spirit. So when you speak the language of the Holy Spirit, you're using words that are sacred, okay? Words that glorify. And the response you get is from those words, it's not in your head, but rather you hear it in your heart. So listen to it again. One prayer, one mind, one way, all right? An affirmation or prayer like this, whichever you want to call it, affirmation or prayer, that is spoken in this Holy Spirit language elevates our state of being from our head to our heart, okay? It is a prayer we use to elevate our mind to the one mind that God is. So this prayer affirmation magnifies the power of our intention to live our lives in holy communion with the Holy Spirit, right? So in terms of practicing the principles in uncertain times, it's imperative that we choose an intention that will direct all of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions to that one power and one presence. So we affirm, and you start saying, I'm going to explain this a little bit more. So one prayer, God is my source. One mind, God is my all in all. one way. God is the way. All right. So the mechanism we use to keep practicing the principles in our everyday lives is the law of mind action. And you know this, thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. Okay. And let me just do a little bit of extra explanation of that. When we say thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, it's not the first level of that is that whatever your thoughts you typically have going on in your mind all the time produce more of the same kind of thoughts. All right. So thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. We're taught also that this creates things in our outer world. But I want you to understand the first level of that is whatever the thoughts are that you're constantly holding in your mind, they're producing more of their same kind. So if you have a lot of fear thoughts, those fear thoughts will create more fear thoughts. If you have a lot of joy thoughts, forgiveness thoughts, love thoughts, those will create more of the same, you know, as themselves. The key here is that every cell in our body has consciousness. So whatever it is you have in your mind that's producing after its own kind is vibrating through your entire body, okay? After a while, you become a vibration in the universe, and the universe picks up on that vibration, and that's what causes thoughts held in mind producing your own kind. That's what causes the manifestation of those thoughts into your life. I hope that was a little bit better explanation. But Catherine Ponder explains that the inner world of thought controls all outer action. So when you get the right attitude, the outer world of results and personalities will conform to it. So the key to this law is believing that it will produce good results. So if you're holding good results in your mind, it will produce good results. Now, in my research, I found this explanation. The main premise in the law of mind action is that the whole universe is alive with cosmic intelligence. It is infinite creative mind at work. Mind gives birth to thought and then uses thought as the model for its creation. All right. So as we always say, consciousness is at the center of the law. We are learning that there is a self-generating, self-perpetuating process that can lock our consciousness into a repetitive cycle. Meaning once consciousness is established, it becomes a mechanism that determines the focus of our attention. All right. It is the purpose of this lesson in this lesson series is to learn how to refocus consciousness. Okay. So the key here is, you know, for many of us, our lives may be going extremely well. Okay. But we're still, remember we talked about it's the difference between, I forgot how I said at that time, living the ego life versus the God life. It wasn't the ego life that I came up with, but I can't remember before. So what we're striving for is the God life. That's what we're striving. Sometimes we get caught up in the fact that our life is going well, that we kind of slack back on really continuing to elevate our thought beyond ego, beyond personality, and make that, what did I say earlier, that holy communion with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're striving for. Okay. So the purpose of the theme of this prayer, one prayer, one mind, one way, that's what we're trying to get to, is that particular thinking process. This is a prayer designed to refocus our consciousness from the worries and concerns of the ego to the love and the faith of the Christ. Okay. Now, this requires, again, it requires that you have one prayer, one mind, one way. And I said, I'm going to say that about 15 times, you know, before this is over. So each time I get ready to say it now, you can say it with me because you should, you know, have it in your mind by now. Now, this law, you know, thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, doesn't necessarily mean, for instance, that if you lose your job, for example, that your consciousness directly created that. It could very well be the result of a change you are wanting in your life, not realizing that your job would be part of that change, if that makes sense. But the nature of what happens in consciousness after that, in other words, what will happen in your consciousness after that will depend upon whether or not you perceive the job loss as a threat or an opportunity. Okay? So let me say that again. It is not the experience alone that creates the nature of our consciousness, but it is how we choose to interpret and react to each experience that forms the nature of our consciousness. And again, the pivotal point being whether or not we choose to perceive the events and circumstances in our lives as threats or opportunities is the key to the process. So I mean, everything, remember last week, I think we talked about make sure you don't do affirmations about things you think are against you, all right? You always want to be affirming things that are for you. Affirm things that are for you, you're using the language of the Holy Spirit. I am whole and well is for you. I don't want to be sick is against you. You get what I'm saying? So you always want to kind of formulate, think to yourself, am I formulating this in terms of the Holy Spirit language, making sure that I'm always seeing things that are happening as potential opportunities as opposed to threats. All right. So our responses and reactions to the events in our world trigger certain thought processes. And then those thought processes are the stuff out of which the factory in our mind manufactures what we experience in our lives, okay? And yes, this is one of those heavier laws in the study of spiritual metaphysics because it holds us responsible for our thoughts, words, and actions. Even in the book of John, John 6, when Jesus began to teach the heavier matters of the law to his disciples, because he figured, they've been around for a while, let me take them to the next level. It says that many of his disciples drew back and no longer wanted to go along with him. It's like, yeah, Jesus, this is way too deep, all right? And that's the process here. We want to understand the deeper, the weightier dynamics of the law, all right? But as Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, for truly I say to you, not a dot, not an iota will pass from the law until all is accomplished, all right? So the revealing word gives a definition that describes the explicit nature of the law and explains that. Let me just go to this, switch to that. Okay, so it says the law is the faculty of the mind that holds every thought and acts strictly to the truth of being, regardless of circumstances or environment. The law is a mathematical faculty. It places first things first. And the laws of mind are just as exact and undeviating as the law of mathematics. So to recognize this is a starting point in finding God, okay? So once you begin to understand that, to work with the law as it is, working with that law will help you to find your connection with God. And humankind does not make the law. The law is, and it was established for our benefit before the world was even formed, okay? So listen to this essential point again. The law of mind action is just as exact and undeviating as the law of mathematics. So to recognize this is a starting point to finding God. Simply, this means it doesn't matter what or how we think things should be, because there is an absolute way that things are. Right? Now, you know how our ego is, our mind is. Oh, I wish things were different. I wish things were this way, especially with all that's happening right now, okay? But the key is we have to begin to understand that we have to try to get into the mindset of how things are and then what is mine to do in that process. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. So to grasp this, we must come to understand that God is the underlying, unchangeable truth with whom there is no variation. That comes from James 1:17. And we live and breathe and have our being in this exacting law. So you can't play with the law. You can't negotiate with the law. You can't, Burt Reynolds was out in the ocean and he was, about to drown. He was trying to swim to shore and he kept saying, God, if you save me, I'll go to church and, I'll donate all my money and blah, blah, blah. And he gets closer and closer to me. And then as he gets to the shore, he goes, well, thanks, God. I'll drop by to see you every now and then. Okay. We can't negotiate with God like that because we're not negotiating with a person. We're trying to negotiate with a law. And like they said, the law is as exacting as mathematics. So that's the greatest challenge for our being able to practice the principles in these uncertain times is moving from thinking and acting the way we think things should be, okay, to becoming at one with the way things are. Now, not the way they are in the outer. You know, we're not saying you want to become at one with the pandemic or one with racial unrest. It's not that. So it's not becoming at one with the outer, but the way they are in the spirit of our being. Okay? This is the basis of the affirmation, one prayer, one mind, one way. So when we finish at the turmoil turning up inside of us, however that shows up, fear, anger, frustration, whatever it might be, we have to understand that that's not the prayer in the mind that we or the way we want to be. So we have to go back to the affirmation. No, for me, there's one prayer. Say it with me. One mind, one way. Okay? And this is our work. That being to make the shift in consciousness from my way to thy way. And if you're wondering to yourself, for example, well, how about, how do I apply this to the pandemic? It is possible that this is the universe's way of responding to humanity's prayer for a global pause, whether or not we knew we were asking for it. Okay, and if you're wondering how does this apply to the racial unrest, it is possible that this is a universe's way of responding to humanity's prayer for a global awakening again, whether or not we knew we were asking for it, okay? So I repeat, thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, whether or not you knew you were asking for it or not, okay? So as Jesus expressed in John 17, 4 through 5, Blessed Spirit, I glorify you here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world was made. The work we have each been given to do is to cultivate one prayer, one mind, one way, for all for the glory of God. Okay? Now, as the revealing word explains, glorification is the highest spiritual state of consciousness we can reach. So to be in a state of glory is to have a realization of divine unity where your mind has blended and merged with God mind. What does that look like? Say it with me. One prayer, one mind, one way. Okay. So how you do and express your gift in the pandemic, in the racial unrest, how you express that gift, okay, and what you do, or with the floods and the fires, you know, it depends solely on the nature of your gift and how you choose to express it, okay? So in other words, you cannot be a Martin Luther King if that is not your gift. Or a Daniel Hale Williams, an African-American who was the first physician in the United States to perform open-heart surgery in 1893. If that's not your gift, you cannot, you know, show up in that way. But if you follow the path, one prayer, one mind, one way, you will discover what is yours to do for the glory of God in your own unique way in these uncertain times. Okay. Now, keep in mind, when we say bring glory to God, I want you to get your head around the fact there is no person that we're trying to glorify, no personification to glorify. Okay. Rather, God is, as we read in Jeremiah 23:24, who can hide in secret places that I shall not see them? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Okay. Meaning God is that which is everywhere present as a cosmic presence. However, when we identify ourselves with God through one prayer, one mind, one way, God seems to become personal to us. Okay. Not in a personal sense as we are to each other, but as the universal presence in whom we are now aware that we live and breathe and have our being. And this realization of oneness happens in consciousness, okay? There are many who believe we cannot control the development of our consciousness. In the research I was doing on consciousness, they talked about how for centuries, these great minds have been trying to figure out consciousness, you know? And you know, a lot of them say that in many ways we are victims of the prejudices and beliefs and fears and even inhumane practices of those who went before us. But there was a very telling line that I heard in one of my space fantasy shows that I like, in which the character said this, okay? He said, even though it is the inhumanity of humanity that has brought about pain and suffering, it is only humanity that can remedy the inhumanity by deciding to act humane, right? I wanted to put that out because that's kind of a mouthful, right? But nothing changes until consciousness changes, because it's out of consciousness, both individual and collective, that everything unfolds. So I had a rousing discussion with my, they're online students, but they're remote learning, which means, you know, I can see them, they can see me. And it's done at a specific time as opposed to my other online classes. And we actually got a notice from our vice president and provost that if students want to talk about the racial unrest going on, please take class time to do it. So we got into a really heavy discussion about it, and they were asking the question that people are even asking in Courageous Conversations, which is, when is this going to end? Okay? And that is a very challenging question. You know, again, it's out of consciousness, both individual and collective, that everything unfolds. So when is it going to end? It begins with me. When it begins to end in me, then I can begin to understand the ending coming. But if I'm still asking that question, that means that I'm still in turmoil myself, right? You get it? So if I'm in turmoil about what is going on, you know, and I'm asking the question, when is it going to end? That's almost a rhetorical question, because it's going to end when it ends in me, okay? And of course, we want to say, well, what about everybody else? It has to start with me, okay? And our greatest, I mean, our outer and inner worlds are intimately intertwined. Our outer and inner worlds will begin to make the significant positive changes when we fully grasp the power of our thoughts and begin to gain control over them. How do we gain control over them? By diligently practicing, say it with me, one prayer, one mind, one way, okay? And it is true that we have no control over the events in the world. But as Eric Butterworth said in his book, Spiritual Economics, let me bring that slide up. He says, you are not responsible for what is written in the Wall Street Journal or what comes out of Washington in the form of political confusion, but you are very much responsible for what you think about these things. You cannot afford to allow yourself to let so-called experts decide how you are going to think and how you are going to feel. Okay. So when we accept and appreciate the law of mind action, we will be capable of significant progress in making desired changes in our own lives and be capable of contributing to the prosperous, peaceful changes in the lives of others, okay? So if I make the change in me, then I have the power to help others change as well. But as it's described in 1 Peter 1:24, we have a tendency to waver, right? Now, this is in Scripture. It says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. But eventually the grass withers and the flowers fade. But the word of God remains forever. And so that's what it's saying about us. You know, we have a tendency to waver, to fade in our efforts to, you know, to make this journey to spiritual transformation, okay? But we can make significant strides in the recreation of our outer world when we each come to understand that things may happen around you and things may happen to you, but the only thing that really matters are the things you allow to happen within you, okay? And as is recorded in Psalm 9:17, I think I have a slide for this, okay? It says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you, you know, wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands. And the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation, okay? So it is our work to have the courage to break free of the herd. And I don't know if you guys remember when I used to talk about herd consciousness and so forth. And that's what we want to do is break free of the herd, okay? The herd stays in fear quite often, and we want to be able to break free from that. Because if one person makes a conscious effort to stand in the truth, that one person will inspire another and another and another until you have hundreds of thousands standing in the truth. So if you're asking the question, when will this end? You first have to be able to stand in the truth and then let that truth within you impact another who will impact another, okay? It only takes a few of us to make the commitment to, you know, to change our consciousness to inspire the many. And in your life, you can be that one who changes your own consciousness to the point where you inspire those whose lives you touch and who eventually will again inspire others. It's recorded in Matthew 18:20 that Jesus said, again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. So it is our work to come to the realization it is not the material world that, you know, we really live in. It is not the material world we really live in. Rather, it's the world of consciousness that we really live in. We are a living magnet, constantly drawing to ourselves the things, the people, the circumstances that are in accord with our thoughts and feelings. So the law that governs that, which flows from our consciousness, cannot be changed. What we can change, however, is the nature of our consciousness. We can change what we think about. We can change what we focus our attention on. We can each change from perceiving threats like this new normal that's unfolding in our lives, you know, that seems to be threatening the old way, all right? And so we can change our consciousness about that, you know, to seeing this new normal, this new way of coming as an opportunity to discover new ways of being in the world, okay? And I had this discussion again with my students, you know, these 18, 19-year-olds, one student said he was the old person in class, he was 30, right? But I was, you know, sharing with them that they are the ones who are going to usher in this new normal, all right? And so, you know, it's being open to what are the new possibilities for me that are coming up that I don't even know about. And we talked in class about the wilderness. I said to them, you kind of understand the idea of the wilderness because you're beginning to leave childhood and move into adulthood, but you really have not figured out fully how to negotiate that yet. So in that place of non-negotiation, of not knowing what's going to happen, you're in the wilderness. And I share with them, like I share with you, that the wilderness is a great place to be because infinite possibilities can come out of it depending on the consciousness with which you go through it. Okay. So a quote from this month's Science of Mind, it was actually yesterday, I think it was. The third. It says, change can be beautiful when we are brave enough to evolve with it. Let me say that again. Change can be beautiful when we're brave enough to evolve with it. And finally, use the affirmation, one prayer, one mind, one way, to create a consciousness that continuously produces happy, harmonious experiences in your life. And just know that you can change. You can change. You can change. Just believe in it. Focus on it, work on it, and you will achieve it. And so it is. Thank you. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So now find that comfortable space right where you are. Allow your body to totally relax and take a deep breath in. As you are breathing in and out, you become aware of any tension leaving your body. From the top of your head down to your toes, you release and let go. You are now immersed in the comfort of God's love. You feel this love saturating your mind and your body. You feel this love removing any anxiety and worrisome thoughts and feelings. There is great comfort in knowing that God is with you at all times and in all circumstances. From that thought alone, you feel your spirit lifted. You feel safe and peaceful. Notice as you breathe, your mind is still and at peace. You are calm and you are at ease. Spirit is flowing through you now, and you can feel security and tranquility washing over you. Serenity wells up from your innermost self. Peace floods your mind and body. You are one with God, one in the midst of peace, of love, of faith, strength, and wisdom. Breathe deeply now, and notice that with each heartbeat, you become aware of the peaceful presence that is within you now and always. You are never alone. Peace and love and truth are but a breath away. Take this time now to come ye apart a while into the silence of the secret place of the Most High. It is here that you can feel Spirit lifting you higher and higher in consciousness. We do thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. And now slowly as you come back to your surroundings and to the activities of your day, know that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you to be comforted, supported, and uplifted. So we say thank you in the name and nature of our Elder Brother and Wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, hon. That was wonderful. So, this is a time when we just kind of say it from a heartfelt way, because that's the way we feel, all of us here at Unity Center of Light, of the wonderful offerings that you've been sending to support this ministry. Seeing that many of us, all not just our church, but churches in general, are becoming very used to this way of doing church, and from what we're hearing about vaccines and so forth, we may be doing this for a while. As you see, the schools, the colleges are having a tough time in bringing these kids back, and all of a sudden they can't send them home because not, you know, many of them are affected. And so this is going to be... it's going to be the way for a while. So we are thankful for the fact that you have been continuing to donate and support us during this very interesting time as we go through this transition. So let's do our affirmation together for our prayer, for our offering. Together we bless and give thanks
for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen.
And now we're going to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
Amen. And now let's end with our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So we invite you, as always, if you have not experienced the service in Zoom, I know many of you, a lot of you, you know, just watch it on YouTube. And I'm imagining also in Facebook, okay? But if you really want to have some communion with your Unity family, please join us in the Zoom service. I think you will really enjoy that. And we look forward to seeing you there. So have a wonderful week.
Okay. All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.